And welcome to the Sportscast, July 8th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And also visit us on thesportscast.net. Suckers summer of soccer is over. It finalized it yesterday. Three finals, Copa America, the Women's World Cup, and the Gold Cup. Brazil turned out to win the gold, the Copa America. USA winning the Women's World Cup, and Mexico winning the Gold Cup, beating USA 1-0. And today we have a first-time guest, Jaime Fernandez. He's a Spaniard, and I met him a couple years ago here in my place where I work here in Weston. And Jaime, welcome to the Sportscast.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure, Santiago. And of course, yesterday was a great Sunday. I'm not going to lie. I was pretty excited.
Jaime, before we start, can you tell us a little brief introduction of yourself? What do you do and how do you make money?
Of course. My name is Jaime Fernandez. I actually been here in the U.S. for the last 8 years. I used to study in St. Louis, Missouri. Then I actually got a soccer scholarship. And after that, I basically moved to Miami, where I'm located right now. I do basically sales for an office supply company. And then, obviously, my passion is soccer, football. and of course, I'm super happy to be here in Miami because I think this is the most international soccer city in the United States. So.
And, of course, you speak more Spanish than English while you're here in Miami.
Of course, yeah.
Now,
a little bit of everything. Spanglish, I would say.
Before we start, obviously you're from Spain. You're pretty much European. How do you look at the Americas, you know, style of soccer? Obviously South America and also North America. How do you view that type of style versus Europe?
Well, I gotta say, obviously, that the soccer in the United States is growing a lot. Every day keeps growing and growing. And that's why you see something like, you know, the World Cup of 2026 is going to be hosted by United States, Mexico, and Canada. That proves that not only they are ready for another World Cup, it's also FIFA is supporting those kind of events here, is because they know they the United States, Mexico, and Canada, they are investing a lot of money on raising these kids into the soccer action. So I totally feel by that year is going to be the big change in the career of the North American soccer.
I agree.
And South America, you will be surprised, but I know a lot about soccer and soccer history, but I actually know, obviously, soccer, football, as is. It was created in England. But I didn't know the most longevity cup is the Copa America. I find out that fact here, living here in Miami. That makes me feel that I should know more about the South American soccer.
It is the oldest international tournament in history. It's older than the World Cup. I think it started in the 1912, 1918 era. And, of course, Uruguay won the first tournament. As they did it as the World Cup. But anyways, talking about Copa America last night, Brazil defeated Peru 3-1. And I personally thought it was over before it started. You know, once they announced Brazil was going to win the Copa America, I mean, was going to host the Copa America, I knew they were going to win it. And they won it without Neymar.
Yeah. That's great. That's actually says a lot about Brazil, that they don't need their true leader to make, you know, a win. And they've been playing really good. The only game that I remember that they didn't play that good, it was against Paraguay. But at the end of the day, you know, all the other games, they've been very strong. They play now, I mean, with Tite, which is the coach, they play a a real soccer. You know, they really know how to play. So they have they follow the steps. So Brazilians are pretty happy with that.
Yes, Brazil won their ninth championship, ninth Copa America championship. They're still lagging behind Argentina and Uruguay. Uruguay has 15, Argentina has 14. But yesterday's match was pretty tight in the first half, you can say, but Brazil pulled it off. The first goal came by Everton, assist by Gabriel Jesus. It turned out to be 1-0. And then a penalty by Jose Paulo Guerrero. Was that penalty a legit penalty?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I think it was. It was a penalty. I got to say that the first goal impressed me a lot. The little dribbling and it's incredible how skilled Gabriel Jesus is, because just in less than a meter, he make like an amazing dribble and he get a pass to the second post, and then Everton shows up with a goal. I was pretty surprised at the end that Everton got elected with most goals for Brazil. So congrats to him too, because nobody probably heard about Everton before the Copa America starts.
Me neither.
And now he's probably making his transfer to Europe with that top scorer of the Copa America.
Yeah, he's only 23 years old.
Obviously, yeah. All I got to say, I think a little bit of the entire South America was cheering for Peru, because it's historical what they've been doing in the last 2 years, making it to the World Cup after 20-something years, I think, or even more, 30-something.
You're about right. I think it was since 80. The 80s. I think it was 82 was the last time.
Yeah, 1982. It was in Spain, actually, in the World Cup.
Yeah.
And actually, the Copa America, I mean, it was a good challenge for them because they were in the same group as Brazil. So it was not an easy group, but they make it to the next round. And as a third team, they make it to the next round and they ended up in the final. So big cheers for Peru and all the Peruvian fans, because I think they were too happy yesterday.
When I saw Peru beat Uruguay, I really thought they were going to go deep. And then they beat Chile as well. So, they beat two, big teams in international football and able to make it in the final. Even though Peru did lose against Peru, even though Peru lost against Brazil in the group stage, I think they lost 5-0, Peru was able to hang on, but it turned out to be 3-1. The penalty, it was by Jose Paulo Guerrero. And then Gabriel Jesus scored a heckin' goal before the half, which you talked about a little bit. Which is interesting you say that, because I think Gabriel Jesus performs more than he does in Manchester City.
Well, he probably performs more because the passion is crazy, but I read about this, and a friend of mine told me, Gabriel Jesus, he basically was 2 years before the World Cup in Brazil, 2014. He was painting the streets. He was painting some of the graffitis to decorate the favelas and all the streets in Brazil. And who was going to tell this kid that he was going to be one of the local fans that make it the Copa America? So crazy how the world and how your life can change in just 3 or 4 years with hard work, right?
That's true, with hard work and hustle and now playing for Manchester City, one of the best clubs in the world. Looking at the lineup, I think Dani Alves had one heck of a tournament.
Well, Dani Alves is impressive, man. I read also the fact that he made his 40th trophy, personal trophy.
Wow.
That's crazy.
I didn't know that.
And you see him, he played really good all the games. He truly was the captain that Brazil need. But he's probably going to retire after this Copa America, because he made all the champions that he needs to make.
He's 37, so. 40 trophies. I mean, what else does he need? It's interesting that Marcelo was not included in this squad.
I personally think he didn't deserve to be included in the squad. Marcelo will play terrible this year with Real Madrid. And at the end of the day, it's all it matters, right? Like your personal performance before you get to an event like that. So I think Tite decided to take other players that were performing better, like Felipe Luis, or other players in general. But I bet you he's going to have another opportunity next year because there is another Copa America, believe it or not. I don't know if you find out about this
next year.
They're going to do again another Copa America because they want to do it at the same time as the UEFA Euro. So that way the players actually can rest more. So that's an interesting fact, and I think that's going to help the players to be better for the tournament.
Yeah, it's able to equilibrate, to equalize a little bit between the two continents, probably the two biggest confederation in the FIFA world. And yes, it'll be next year. It'll be co-hosted by Argentina and Colombia, and the final will be in Bogota.
Oh yeah, great.
So it's quite interesting because typically when you see two countries co-hosting is usually right next to each other. You would have thought it would have been, could have been Argentina and Uruguay co-hosting it, or Argentina, Chile.
Mm-hmm.
But not this time around. But
this time is different, yeah.
Let's move on to the Women's World Cup. The U.S. Women's World Cup defeated Holland 2-1, and it was pretty much it was actually zero. It was pretty much convincing. It was kind of physical towards the beginning, but it was kind of convincing the U.S. was going to win this anyways. What were your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts about that World Cup is first of all, the U.S. is always more prepared, I feel, just because the fact that it's an entire country with the same passion. And you can tell, people were super excited. And I think when you are playing a big tournament like this, you notice the crowd, and you notice all the people supporting you in the stadium. So you have everybody in your side, even that they were playing in Europe. But, it comes from the teams and everything. If you notice this nation, like the U.S. team, most of the players, they play, most of these girls, they play in Europe too. So that make them be more prepared. Actually, just to compare it a little bit, I don't know if you know this, the history about Spain, but Spain never won anything before they won the Euro Cup, and they after that they won the World Cup. So if you notice that the main difference is in that team of the World Cup, they had a lot of players that they were playing in England and in other countries, and that made the Spanish team be more strong. So now compared with the women's, I feel like having that many players like Rapinoe playing in different countries in Europe helped the team to be more stronger,
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting because there is a U.S. League here domestically. But I was reading that the women get paid better in Europe. I know the Alex Morgan got paid $33,000 a week. And some of the big clubs, not all the big clubs in Europe, have a women's team. I know that Manchester City has a big has a team. Lyon, PSG has a women's team. I don't know about Real Madrid. I don't think they do.
They actually create one this summer.
Okay, there you go.
It's going to be next year. It's going to be officially the first year that Real Madrid has won. But yeah, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, Bilbao, they have great teams.
Yeah, and they have the capital too.
Yeah.
Other than that,
I got to say, I have a fun fact for you.
Go ahead.
Actually, one of my first coaches in soccer when I was a kid, Pedro Martinez Loza, which I sent him a big hug from here. He's actually doing his career in the woman section, and he's been doing great in the last years. He's been coaching for Arsenal girls. He's been coaching in the U.S. in a team, I think, in New York. And now he just signed a new contract with Girondins Bordeaux from France. So it's crazy. It's crazy, again, how your life career can change with hard work. Because I remember he was definitely a hard worker as a coach.
Yeah. And, you know, you see, like, a diverse a huge diverse group of coaches in the women's game, like Phil Neville, for example. He was a men's soccer player for England and also for the Premier League. And I think this is one of his first coaching gigs, and he's done pretty well, you know. And you see a diverse of women coaches, men coaches. So who knows? You know, you could see Mourinho maybe coaching a women's team one day.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No Mourinho, but I totally see other coachings. Maybe they don't do as well in the men's football, so maybe they switch. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's about challenging and it's about money too. I mean, if a team pays you more to coach girls, why not, you know?
Absolutely.
That I think it goes in a personal thought.
No,
but definitely. I
agree.
I feel soccer is growing a lot. What Spain did was crazy too. They play a great tournament. I tell you, they got defeated by the Americans, but they played really good. I was impressed with the girls.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if you read that fact, but this year there was a game in Spain that they actually got the most people in one game in a soccer stadium. It did like a record in Spain.
Yeah, like the women's game in Spain, like, you think Spain is really pushing it for 100%? Are they putting a lot of investment in it?
For sure. They invest in a lot. And I know for sure, I mean, one of the most famous newspapers, Marca, they have their section. They talk about the women's league, and now if you go into that website, I mean, you're gonna see the transfers. They talk about 90% men's, but you're gonna see transfer also in the women's league. So they obviously want people to know that this is growing. So it's not gonna be a surprise if by the next World Cup we see a lot of people following the nations, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I agree on that one. Of course, you'll see part big clubs, you know, Man City, Man United getting a women's team and whatnot. But yeah, last night, yesterday, USA defeated Netherlands, which Netherlands can't win a championship. You know, they have bad luck. Every time they go to the final, they just can't win it. And it's crossing over to the women's side as well. 2-0, a goal by Rapinoe, and then Rose Lavelle. She's become very popular, a rising star and the U.S. team. And, of course, it was USA against Europe. It was pretty much, you know, there was not many other, you know, teams from other continents. It was, they had to go through Spain. They had to go through Germany. But I always thought that quarterfinal against France was going to be whoever won that game, that match, was going to win the World Cup.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was everybody against the U.S., yeah, pretty much. The U.S. against Europe, as you say. But it's true. I mean, the Europeans, as I say, the strongest leagues are in Europe. So the leagues there, they invest a lot of money in the north, especially Germany, Sweden, Netherlands. They have pretty good teams.
Go ahead.
I was surprised that the Americans made it again, because they say, and it's true, I mean, when you play in another continent, it's more difficult. But I was seeing the fans, and the fans were crazy supporting it against it. You know, everybody was supporting the U.S., so that helps a lot. But yeah, definitely they were well-deserved tournament.
USA wins their back-to-back fourth championship, World Cup. Of course, they're known as the Brazil in soccer for the women's side. And anyways, speaking about USA, last night, the Gold Cup, Mexico defeated USA by just one goal. It was the first half was more of a U.S. possession half, and then the second half, Mexico just came out running, and they scored a goal. Obviously, people thought it was an upset. No, it's 50-50 when it comes to these matches. But what were your thoughts about Mexico's win last night?
Well, I got to say, first of all, the goal was amazing for me.
Yeah.
The goal is really a great teamwork goal. And the pass that Raul Jimenez was actually named like MVP of the tournament. And that pass is brilliant. That pass. If Messi, Ronaldo, or any other player make that pass in a final, we will see that pass every day in all the media. But because it's not that known, that cup, it's a shame that they don't give them that much, I would say that much, I don't know, like importance. But
exposure, yeah.
Mexico played really good, yeah, the second half. I mean, they have, on the field, I think more veterans players than U.S. So I think when it gets to a final, I think that matters. Like when you have like three or four players, like for example Ochoa, Guardado, Dos Santos, Raul, they play before World Cups and they play before big games, you know, in Spain, in Europe. So that's the only thing that I felt the U.S. were missing, like more, you know, experience in their team. It was young players, but those young players demonstrate that they are going to be ready for Qatar and especially for the U.S. World Cup in 6-7 years from now.
Yeah.
But I got to say, Pulisic, oh my God, I can't wait to see him in Chelsea because he's a beast. He's really, really good.
Yeah, he's going to be in Chelsea this upcoming season, going to replace the Eden Hazard position. For Chelsea. And back to Mexico, Andres Guardado plays for Real Betis.
He just signed a contract he renewed his contract. He's going to play two more seasons, which is amazing for both, for Guardado and for the team. They both want to keep playing, and I think they did great this year. So I can't wait to see him retire basically in Spain.
Real Betis is like a mid-table team, right? They're like usually in like the middle of the table.
Yeah, usually it's mid-table. Some years they play in Europe, but they are definitely signing really good players for this season. Today they actually transferred their goalie, $30 million to Rome. But I got to say that I think they're going to do great. They just signed the coach from Espanyol de Barcelona. So I think that coach is going to do great things in Seville and Betis. Yeah.
Getting into soccer news, Mourinho turned down a offer to manage a Chinese club and potentially to manage the national team of China. What do you think about, I mean, obviously, Mourinho turned them down, but do you think Mourinho has another potential place to manage, or you think he just, you know, has nothing going on and he's going to wait it until a next big club will hire him?
Well, I heard that he definitely wants to train a national team. So the good thing is that right now, because there's been like two or three tournaments, there's going to be people that are going to get fired from their national team. So who knows? Maybe could train Argentina.
I was saying the same thing. I was saying at the lunchroom to this Argentinian, I think Mourinho would be perfect for that job.
Yeah, maybe he could train, I don't know, England was doing pretty good lately, so I don't think he's going to train England. But next thing you know, he can train a team that maybe is not that much known and make it big. So do you really imagine, I don't know, I want to know your opinion. Do you think Mourinho can train kind of like Norway, Sweden, Denmark?
No.
something like that? Like, do you?
No, I don't think so, because like, if his attitude is just to go to big clubs so he's able to spend, I think he wants to go to a legit national team, like a Portugal, Spain, England, Germany, Argentina. But I don't see him going to like a mediocre or below average, like China or like Venezuela. No, I think he wants to go to a legit national team.
Yeah, for sure. And it will help him in his career. But I don't know. I don't see any. The only national team that I see right now, they need a coach is, well, who knows? Maybe Argentina, maybe U.S. What do you think about U.S.?
Well, U.S. just got their new coach this past year, so I really doubt they're going to change things. And they're giving him a grace period, a honeymoon period,
yeah.
Greg Berhalter. Yeah. So I really doubt they're going to change it. But I think Argentina might be a good spot, but they don't typically hire foreigners.
Yeah, no, and the other thing I don't think so is I don't see Mourinho training Messi. That I don't see.
Yeah, it's true. I always wonder how that pairing, but I don't know if they like each other. But he was rumored to go to Newcastle, but he's hinted he doesn't want to manage there because they don't have the money to buy big players. And I think PSG is still a possibility.
Who knows? I mean, PSG has also these German coach, so I don't know.
Do you think Neymar will be going to Barcelona this summer?
I definitely think he's going to leave PSG. Actually, I don't know if you read it, but I just find out that he was supposed to be there today for the first official summer training, and he didn't show up. So I think he's acting again like he used to act with Barcelona. I remember that summer because there was going to be a Barcelona-Real Madrid here in Miami. And that same day, he didn't play because he signed up for PSG and left his Barcelona friends to move to Paris. Now, do I know if he's going back to Barcelona? I don't know. There's something happened this week for sure, because the fact that Griezmann need to move to Barcelona, I mean, they pre-signed a contract, so he need to move for sure. And I don't see Neymar, Griezmann, Suarez, and Messi, because there is no space for four. And I don't see any of those four missing a big game like Real Madrid, Barcelona, or a big Champions League game. I don't see Suarez in the bench. I don't see Neymar in the bench. I don't see Messi, obviously, and Griezmann. I don't think so. But let's see. I think we're gonna need to wait only one week.
How about Pogba? Do you think he'll be staying with Manchester United?
No, he's moving for sure
to your Madrid.
Yeah, I can guarantee you he's gonna move.
Do you want him in Madrid?
There's only one thing that is important there, because he wants to move. I think he's over with Manchester, but the fact that Zinedine Zidane is a coach helps a lot to, you know, like convince those kind of players. I mean, just imagine, Santiago, that Zinedine Zidane just call you and try to convince you to play in Real Madrid. What do you will say to
I'll
Zidane?
Take it. Yes, sir.
Of course.
No doubt.
So that's the thing. When a big coach like Zidane calls you personally, I don't think you doubt it twice.
And Diego Costa is reported to move to Everton, but it turned out to be a false story.
Yeah, I don't think that's. I don't think because I totally feel Simeone wants to play now with two strikers, Morata and Diego Costa. But let's see. I mean, I feel Diego wants to play in the Spanish league.
How do you see Madrid for the upcoming season? Obviously, they got Eden Hazard. Do you think they have enough pieces to be competitive next season?
Well, Real, definitely, they signed up four or five players that are really good. So I think they're going to be very aggressive from the beginning. Zidane doesn't want to miss any single game, so he's probably gonna the very strong Real Madrid this year. But, I mean, there's some players they still in the team that they need to figure out, because we have Gareth Bale there. They don't know what they're going to do. They want to sign Pogba, but if they sign Pogba, we have the same problem that I just talked about Barcelona. Who are you going to put in the bench? Kroos, Modric, or Casemiro?
Wow.
So it's tough. Tough decision. So, I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I'm a big Real Madrid fan, so I truly feel that Real Madrid is gonna make this their year back. Yeah.
In my opinion, I like Zidane as a manager for Real Madrid. I think he's perfect. He knows the club. He's from within. He's a mastermind, though he hasn't proven outside of the Ronaldo era. How do you feel about him? How you feel about him for this upcoming season?
Well, I feel he finds his own Ronaldo. He finds Hazard, which is he's going to be the star in Real Madrid. And I totally feel that he went back because he didn't want to see Real Madrid affected like he thought. So he went back, and obviously Florentino gave him all the command. So now he's obviously the master and commander. So he wants whatever he wants to do, he's going to do it. And whatever the decision he wants to take, Florentino has to accept it. So I truly feel like they're going to make a great year with Zidane. But I got to say, on the other hand, we have a Barcelona that if they sign Griezmann and Neymar, oof, that's going to be a big challenge for Zidane.
That's going to be wow. That's probably the most loaded Barcelona team I've ever seen. I mean, don't be scared. I really think with Madrid signings and everything, I think they'll be okay. For sure be in the top two. Real quick, how is Atletico looking for next season?
Well, if you see Atletico, they probably like 4 or 5 players left, and 4 or 5 new players that they are really good came to the team. So I think obviously it's going to be difficult to put together people that they don't know each other that quick, because you only have 1 month. In 1 month, everything starts. But that's a challenge for Simeone. I mean, he signed up a very young guy, the most expensive transfer probably this summer. And I truly believe that kid is going to be kind of like a new Messi and Ronaldo. He's really good.
Oh, yeah, the guy Rodri, right?
No, the Joao Felix.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Joao Felix, which was signed today. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rodri went to Man City.
To Manchester City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I heard, and he's pretty good.
He's amazing. He's the new Busquets.
Oh, man, Spain's glory days. I don't know if it's over. I don't think their goal. I mean, I think like their golden days are behind. I know they have a good team right now, but I don't think it's that golden generation you guys had between 2008 and 2012. Mm-hmm. But
it's not.
No, those days they were glorious, man. You know, Euro Cup, yeah. World Cup, Euro Cup. That's never been done before, I don't think. So.
No, nobody did it before.
But, you know, it's funny because you're a Madrid fan and most of the team was Barcelona. Did you feel the same, or did you kind of feel a little bit, okay, it is what it is?
No. What I like about that team is that they were all very united. They were all have a vision, and their vision was the vision that the coach projected. The coach didn't care about Real Madrid or Barcelona. He cared about Spain. He care about finishing the job of the other coach, which was Luis Aragonés. So he did a great job. He actually put together a mix of Barcelona, Valencia, Real Madrid, Manchester United. As I told you, there was players from different teams. And he did amazing. And then what I really like about that team, even if it was more Barcelona players, the captain was Iker Casillas, which he was the captain of Real Madrid. So It was a good combination. Definitely, I miss those times.
Yeah, those days were amazing. I really thought that team was unstoppable. The possession, no one could break up. Yeah, I mean they weren't you know exciting. They weren't scoring five goals at all the time. But they were definitely very possessive in the football that has never been seen since Total Football. But anyways, we're going to the end of the show. Really, really had a good time talking soccer with you. You definitely got to come back to the Sportscast. But the random question is, can people read your handwriting?
What do you mean by that?
When you write, you know, a letter or a note via handwritten, can people read it clearly?
My handwriting?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. That's good. My handwriting, no, it's horrible. I cannot write for anything.
Oh, no. My handwriting is not that bad.
Jaime, how can people reach you online?
Well, I actually have a soccer Instagram that I check every day. It's LA_Chilena, Chilena, _Futbolera, Futbolera. I just started with that in December, but I truly feel it's my passion, soccer. So I try to spend at least a couple of hours every day. And I really like soccer, love soccer. And if you want to chat with me, I will be able to chat. But you know what? Now that I see you with a podcast, I should do a podcast.
You should. You should. Yeah, you should do a podcast. You never know, man. A lot of people out there that want to know about La Liga or anything about European soccer. I think it's always a good thing to communicate. But I would like to have you back to preview La Liga next season. And I don't know if you can preview the Premier League as well.
Yeah, I follow the Premier League. I actually used to live in England for a year.
Oh, perfect.
Back in the times in 2000.
Perfect.
So I know a lot about the Premier League. I'm a truly big soccer fan all over the world. And yeah, I can talk about Premier League and yeah, I follow it.
What do you think
year.
Is the best league
you
in Europe
really,
right now?
What I really like about the Premier League is the first league that actually starts out of the European League.
It's true.
I mean, kind of with the German. They start at the same time, the German and the English. But I love the Premier League because it's kind of like always the first. So it's like, oh, I'm not going to miss the first game of the season of whoever is playing.
Which begins August 9th, Liverpool versus Norwich. So Liverpool, the champion of Europe, but was runners-up of the league, like of the Premier League last season. But yeah, what do you think is the best league in Europe, in your humble opinion?
I mean, my humble thought, it would be saying that both the Premier League and the Spanish League are very, very, very...
Yeah, they're up there.
Tough leagues, like, yeah. They are the best. And they have the best players. But at the end of the day, it's two styles. The Premier League is faster, it's more direct, it's more aggressive, and more, I would say, not fun to watch, but probably the games are going to be always more tight.
Yeah.
And the Spanish League is more kind of like, more about the spectator.
Right? Yeah, like so they're more top-heavy for La Liga.
Yeah, they want to make sure the supporter has enough fun to go home. So they always, you know, they try to do new skills, new, you know, dribblings, new basically stuff. So at the end of the day, in the Spanish League, you're always going to have that competition between Real Madrid, Atletico, and Barcelona. And in the Premier League, what I like is, every year there is a new team like showing up between the first five.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, like La Liga, there's also, you know, Valencia, Villarreal that sometimes, you know, poke around a little bit. But yeah, like the Premier League, like the top half is pretty competitive. And then last year was just head-to-head between Liverpool and Man City. Those guys won about, I think, 98 games each. So it was pretty tense. Obviously, La Liga has a winter break, I believe. So that makes it a little bit easier for them and everything else. But, wow, Jaime, this is great. You were a great guest today on the Sportscast. I'm going to have you on back in August before the league starts.
Okay.
Because in the Sportscast, we don't have too many football, soccer commentators. We have a few out there, but they're not full-time. But you know your game, and you really explain it well. And I really think it would be awesome in the future. But, yeah, it should be exciting next season. A lot of money involved, a lot of things going on. And we'll see if Liverpool wins next year, but that's another topic for another show. Jaime, perfect. I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you. Thank you, Santiago. Have a nice day.